This is Old Time Radio Drama. Tonight, Robert Young in Father Knows Best. James Stewart stars in The Six Shooter from 1954. We'll hear from Margaret O'Brien and Charles Laughton and Tom Drake in the Lux Radio Theater production of The Canterville Ghost. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, with Bob Bailey in the title slot from 1959. And Suspense, with something modestly called After Dinner Story from 1943. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll start with Robert Young in Father Knows Best. Tax interruptions, perhaps welcome, in this broadcast from March 15th, 1951.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. From Horace to Benjamin Franklin, from Shakespeare to Oscar Wilde, practically everyone has had something to say about procrastination. And no matter who said it, it generally came out the same. It's no good. In Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, the Andersons may not have a monopoly on procrastination, but it's a pretty fair bet that they hold a franchise for local distribution. Like this.
Oh.
Anything wrong, dear?
I ate too much. Bud.
Yes, Dad?
Never marry a woman like your mother.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, who cooks as well as your mother. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. It'll ruin your figure.
Okay.
Jim, no one said you had to eat that last piece of pie.
Well, I didn't want Bud to make a pig of himself. May I have another cup of coffee, please?
Any further instructions for Bud?
Oh, Bud.
Yes, Dad?
Be sure to marry a woman who cooks exactly like your mother.
Okay.
That's more like it.
Now, may I have another cup of coffee?
Of course, dear. There you are.
Daddy, do you know what I learned in school today?
I haven't the faintest idea. May I have the cream and sugar, Betty, please?
Sugar's fattening.
Just pass it and never mind the dietary information.
Yes, Father dear.
Sugar is energy, and I'm in a very energetic mood.
You are? Well, it's wonderful, dear. You've been promising to fix the leak in the roof for 2 weeks.
Margaret, please, let's not be rude. Kathy was telling me something.
Jim.
And it's probably very important. Go ahead, kitten.
What?
You were telling me something.
About what?
How do I know? Something about, I don't know.
She learned something in school today.
Well, naturally.
That's what she was telling you.
Oh, I remember. Daddy?
Yes, Kathy?
Do you know what I learned in school today?
Why, no, little old lady passing by. What did you learn in school today?
I learned that everybody in my whole class gets a bigger allowance than I do.
Well, I guess I'll go back to the frying pan. What were you saying, Margaret?
Jim, you don't have to fix the roof if you don't want to. Just let me call Mr. Payne.
Honey, I told you I'd fix it, and I will.
When?
Well, I'm certainly not going to crawl around on the roof tonight.
Mr. Payne says you don't have to. You can fix it from the inside.
Well?
What?
When are you going to fix the roof?
I'll get around to it, Margaret. Just don't rush me. It won't start raining until April anyway.
And, of course, April won't be here for 2 whole weeks.
Well, maybe Sunday afternoon when I'm feeling a little more rested.
Jim, you're going to fix it tonight.
Okay. As soon as I finish reading the paper...
You will fix the roof before you read the paper.
Now, just a minute, Margaret. Since when do you...
Yes?
Well, it isn't worth arguing about. Make such a big fuss about one puny little leak.
Father!
Now what?
As long as you aren't going anywhere, is it all right if I borrow the car?
Well, let's put it this way. No.
But I just want to go over to Janie's for a while.
I thought you had a chemistry exam tomorrow.
I do,
and didn't you say you had to study for it?
Well, sure, but I've got a study period in the morning, and
That's fine. That's just fine. Did you hear that, Margaret? She's got a study period in the morning.
Isn't that good?
Betty, how do you expect to get anywhere in the world if you leave everything for the last minute?
Well, I only have to brush up on a few formulas.
Then brush up on them tonight.
But, Father...
You know what they say, procrastination is the thief of time. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
Who says that?
Everybody.
I don't.
Neither does your father.
Margaret.
Yes, dear?
I've asked you 100 times to... Well, we'll talk about it later.
After you fix the roof.
Yes. Come on, bud.
What?
You heard your mother. We've got to fix the roof.
How did I get into it?
Bud?
I've got homework to do.
You can do your homework later.
But you just said... Holy cow.
I said nothing that even remotely resembled holy cow.
I wish you'd stop arguing, Bud. You can study later.
Who said anything about studying?
You said you had homework, didn't you?
Sure, for my gym class. I'm going to practice nip-ups.
All right, Bud, upstairs.
My gym teacher said it made the back muscles strong for pitching.
Upstairs.
And he's a baseball coach, so he ought to know.
Bud.
Yes, Dan?
Upstairs.
Now?
Now. Well, say it and get it over with.
Holy cow.
Will you excuse us, Margaret? We have to go fix the roof.
That'll be fine, dear.
Daddy, may I watch?
Sure. Why doesn't everybody come up and watch? We'll sell tickets. Come on, Bud.
It's in the far corner, Jim, near the chimney.
I know where it is. I ought to know where it is. I've been told about it often enough.
Daddy!
I'll come up in a little while, dear.
Okay, honey, you be sure and do that. Nothing I like more on a job than 7 or 8 foremen.
What was that, Dad?
I said we'll have it finished before you can say Herb Gorman.
Oh. Who's he?
He and your mother went to different schools together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Daddy, you know what I learned in school today?
You've already told me, Kathy, and the answer is no.
The answer to what?
May I have a larger allowance?
How did you know I was going to ask that?
Well, it's very simple, kitten. I'm the 7th son of a 7th son. I was born with a veil. I'm psychic.
What does that mean?
You still get 35 cents a week.
Gee whiz, that's only a nickel a day. And you know what you can buy with a nickel a day?
I don't know, Kathy.
That's what's wrong with it. I don't either.
Well, let's see now. Good grief, look at the junk up here.
It's over on this side, Dad.
Where?
Up here.
Can't even get to it. Bud, help me move some of this stuff out of the way like a good fellow.
Okay.
You know how much Jimmy Woody gets? 50 cents.
Shove that big box over a little more, Bud.
I'm not supposed to move things that big, Dad. It'll ruin my pitching arm.
Bud, shove.
But the coach said...
Shove.
Yes, sir.
Lori Hathaway gets 40 cents and she's only 8.
Junk. 3 more boxes and we can open our own branch of the Salvation Army.
I'll bet Paul Pettit never had to shove boxes around an attic.
Who's he?
He's the kid who's going to pitch for Pittsburgh. And they gave him $100,000 to sign.
$100,000?
When he was only 18.
You concentrate on the little boxes, Bud. I'll take care of the big ones.
Okay, Dad.
Daddy!
Kathy, you are not going to get a larger allowance.
Why?
Because 35 cents is all you need.
Why?
Because you're only a little girl, and little girls don't need more than 35 cents a week.
Why?
Because... Kathy, if you say why once more, I'm going to give you the worst spanking of your entire life.
How come?
Kathy.
I think you can reach it now, Dad.
All right. Let me take a look at it.
You still didn't tell me.
Kitten, why don't you go downstairs and practice?
I'm going to practice tomorrow.
Well, practice tonight. You won't have to practice tomorrow.
Then what'll I do tomorrow?
Well, you can play.
Why can't I play now?
Kathy, go downstairs and practice.
But then I'll...
Go ahead.
Gee whiz. Why do I always have to practice? It never sounds any good anyway.
Bud, are you sure Mr. Payne said this could be fixed from the inside?
Sure. He said it just had to be caulked, like a boat.
That's ridiculous. How can you caulk a slate roof?
I don't know.
Father!
Don't bother me now, Betty. I'm busy.
But I have to ask you something. If I put off seeing Janie until tomorrow, isn't that procrastinating?
Betty.
You said never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And if I see Janie tonight and study tomorrow, isn't that just as good?
As good as what?
As the other way.
Bud, will you go down to the medicine cabinet and get me about 8 aspirin?
Now?
Do you have a headache, Father?
No, but I'm expecting one any minute.
Jim?
Oh, well.
Kathy said you were having a little trouble. Haven't you fixed the leak yet?
Honey, I can't fix it from the inside.
But
I've got to go out on the roof and put in some new slates. So I'll do it Sunday.
Well, all right, Jim. If you'd rather read your paper.
I'm not going to read my paper. I've got work to do. I'm going downstairs and finish my income tax.
Father won't even let me have the car for an hour, and I told
him... Just
a
minute, Betty. Jim, what did you just say?
I said I'm going downstairs and finish my income tax. And don't tell me that isn't important.
If nobody needs me for anything...
Jim, do you mean to say you haven't taken care of your tax return?
I'm going to take care of it now.
But this is March 15th.
Well?
You gave the children a long lecture about procrastination, and you haven't filed your tax return.
Honey, I've still got lots of time.
But it's March 15th now.
I know, but it's only 7 o'clock, and the tax isn't due until midnight.
Father sounds pretty sure of himself, planning to fill out that tax return in 5 short hours. Well, let's wait and see. On the other hand, ladies, the head of the house is perfectly sure of a great many things. One of them is coffee. That's right, that husband of yours is the world's greatest coffee expert. Day in, day out, he's the final judge, the number one expert on good coffee. It's true we Maxwell House people are called experts, too. More families do enjoy our coffee than any other brand. But when you brew the coffee, when you fill the cups, the expert with the final say-so, he's your husband. And tomorrow, if you'll serve him Maxwell House, we're sure you'll win his warmest smile and this compliment.
Honey, that's what I call real coffee.
Yes, indeed. That's what he'll say. In fact, we'll give you your money back if he doesn't. The plain fact is, no coffee tastes like Maxwell House because no coffee's made like Maxwell House. There's only one recipe for that famous good-to-the-last-drop flavor, a recipe demanding certain fine coffees blended just so. And only Maxwell House has this recipe. So tomorrow, serve your husband our Maxwell House. If he doesn't say, best coffee ever, why, just send us the can and unused portion, and we'll gladly refund the price you paid. Our address is right on every familiar blue tin. How about it, then? Tomorrow, won't you serve your husband the coffee with the world's most famous flavor, Maxwell House coffee? Always good to the last drop.
No matter what anyone tells you, when Thomas Paine said, "These are the times that try men's souls," he was not referring to March 15th. In those days, you see, they hadn't thought of the income tax. But they've thought of it since, haven't they? And they've thought of that cute little hangover from the Spanish Inquisition, the income tax blank. Myself, I'd rather try making a 9 the hard way. 3 3s.
Subtract line 2 from... Multiply $600 by the total number. Wait a minute. If line 10 is B, over $400, but not over $100,000, enter $52 plus 9%. If alternative tax computation is made on separate Schedule D? If standard deduction in line 2, disregard lines 15, 16, and 17, and copy on line 18, the same figure you entered on line 8, 13, or 14, whichever. Kathy. Kathy!
Did you call me, Daddy?
May I speak to you for a minute, please? I'm in the den.
Okay.
If I could only find that piece of paper. It had the whole thing.
That's my new piece, Daddy. Isn't it pretty?
Pretty isn't the word for it. Look, Kathy.
I can even play it with my eyes closed. Want to hear me?
I thought that's the way you were playing.
Oh, no, I was... What?
Kathy, wouldn't you like to do the rest of your practicing tomorrow?
But you said I shouldn't put off till tomorrow.
Well, I just happened to think of something. What if it rains? Then where'll you be?
In the basement?
What I mean is, if it rains, you won't be able to do anything but practice. And if you practice now, you'll have nothing to do all day tomorrow. If it rains. Will you?
Will I what?
Have anything to... Kathy, haven't you been listening to me?
Oh, sure.
What did I say?
I don't know.
Kathy. Good grief. What's going on up there?
Daddy.
Not now, Kathy. Bud?
Don't you want to talk to me anymore?
I'll talk to you later, honey.
Okay.
Bud? Bud!
You want me, Dad?
What are you doing?
I just did a nip-up. Almost.
Well, see if you can't make a little less noise.
Okay.
And put down a blanket or something. You're liable to break your back.
Okay, Dad.
Father, please. I'm talking to J.D. Liggett.
I wouldn't care if you were talking to Winston Churchill. It's a fine thing when a man...
Jim, what are you doing?
I'm doing my income tax. Can't you see? What am I doing? Can't find the papers, can't make head or tail of these idiotic instructions. Income tax. To figure tentative tax on amount shown in line 5, if line 3 above includes partially tax exempt, multiply amount on line 12 by 2 to obtain combined normal... Subtract line 17 from line 8, 13, or 14, and enter difference in item 5, page. Oh, no. It isn't possible. Add the figures on lines 15 and 16, and enter income tax paid at source on tax-free coveted bond interest. Kathy! Kathy! Not again. Bud! Margaret!
Father, if you keep on making all that noise...
Did you call me, Jim?
Margaret, how do you expect me... Kathy, stop that! Kathy!
Did somebody say something?
Jim, what on earth is all this shouting about?
Honey, I'd better call Hector and get him to straighten me out on this income tax business. I can't make head or tail of it.
I thought you said you could.
I said I thought I could.
Well, that's what I said.
You said I could, and I didn't. I said I thought... Well, I can't, so what difference does it make? I can't even find the paper.
What paper?
Miss Thomas had it all written down. What went on line 14 and what went on line 15. And all I can find are those cockeyed government instructions that tell you to disregard both of them.
Well, I have an idea. Why don't you call Hector?
Thank you, Margaret. That's a very good suggestion. I'm glad you thought of it.
Daddy, Betty said you wanted me.
Kathy, I thought you were going to practice.
Margaret.
What in the world?
Bud is strengthening his back. Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Run upstairs like a good girl and tell your brother I'd like to see him.
Okay.
And hurry, Kathleen, before he kills himself.
Yes, Mommy.
Jim, is he really?
He's doing nip-ups. It's a very graceful exercise. As you can see.
He won't have a bone left in his body.
He'll be all right. He's a very sturdy boy. It's the floor I'm worried about.
Well, when she said that Billy asked her to go to the prom, well, you can imagine how I felt. Janie, of course not. Why, Billy told me...
Betty.
Just a minute, Janie. Yes, Father?
I have to use the phone.
Okay, Father, just a second. Janie? Well, when I told Billy...
Betty.
Hold it, Angel. Yes, Mother?
Tell Janie you'll see her tomorrow.
But, Mother...
Go ahead.
Janie, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. Creepers, Mother, I don't anymore get started talking.
You've been on that phone for 30 minutes.
That's what I said. I don't anymore get started.
Never mind, Betty. Go ahead, dear.
Hmm? Oh, Hector.
Jumping creepers. You'd think I was a child or something.
One of these years, they're going to make a mistake and issue a tax form that people can understand. Probably get Washington so upset they'll fire the whole Treasury Department.
Are they ringing?
Well, something is ringing, and I hope it's the phone.
Maybe they aren't back yet.
Back from where?
Elizabeth told me this morning that she and Hector were going to Plainville.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me. Let me waste all that time.
Why, Jim, I thought they might have gotten back.
Now may I use the phone?
No.
But, Father...
Margaret, I don't know what's gotten into this family. Nobody seems to be the least bit concerned that I'll probably spend the rest of my life in jail.
Why, Jim...
Bud, will you please try to come down the stairs like only one elephant?
What?
I said, never mind. Margaret, if I don't find that paper, I don't know what I'm going to do.
What paper, dear?
The one with all the tax figures on it. I had it right on top of my desk.
Maybe somebody put it in the desk.
Dad.
Well, that'd be a fine thing. If that paper got inside of the desk, I'll never find it.
Wouldn't be difficult at all if you'd keep your desk like any other man.
Dad.
There's nothing wrong with my desk.
You just can't find anything in it, that's all.
Margaret, I've told you a dozen times I'll clean it out, and I will.
You've been telling me that for 2 years.
Dad.
I just haven't had the time, that's all.
No one can be that busy for 2 whole years.
Dad.
Honey, this is not the time to argue about cleaning out my desk.
Dad.
Bud, what do you want?
I don't want anything.
Then why don't you leave me alone?
Kathy said you wanted to see me.
Oh, well, now I've seen you. Goodbye.
Jim.
What? Oh, and stop doing nip-ups.
But the last time I almost did it.
The last time you almost went through the floor.
Jim, if the paper is in the desk...
I'll write to you every day from Alcatraz.
Dear, this is not the time for jokes.
Alcatraz, big joke.
I have an idea. If we do find the paper, how long will it take?
To finish the return? About an hour.
All right. We can have the desk cleaned out in 20 minutes.
Margaret.
I'd have done it myself, but I don't know which papers you want to keep and which ones you want thrown away.
Oh, I don't know. Other people make out income taxes, and they don't have to go through things like this.
Now can I call Janie?
No, dear. You're going to help your father.
Big corporations with thousands of desks. They make out income taxes every year.
Kathy, we're going to clean out Daddy's desk.
I'll be right down.
Millions and millions of people make out income taxes. Make them out year after year. And they don't have to clean out their desks.
Bud, go out to the garage and get a large box.
Okay, Mom.
The largest one you can find.
You bet.
People who don't even have desks make out their income tax without the least bit of trouble.
All right, dear. Whenever you're ready.
Silliest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. One small piece of paper.
Jim, it isn't getting any earlier.
Okay, let's go.
Mother, if I'm going to take that chemistry exam tomorrow...
Betty?
But Father said I ought to study.
You've got a study period in the morning, remember?
Jumping creepers.
Isn't it funny, Jim? It took 2 years and a missing piece of paper to get you to clean out your desk.
Very funny. I'm practically hysterical.
Well, here we are. Now, where shall we begin?
Let's see. If I were a piece of paper, in what drawer would I hide?
As long as we're at it, we'll do a good job. Betty, pull out all the drawers on that side and empty them on the floor.
Margaret!
You don't have to worry about a thing, dear. We'll go through all the papers together, and you can pick out the ones you want to save.
But...
Go ahead, Betty. Start dumping.
Creepers, what a mess.
Margaret, you don't have to look so happy about it.
No? If you knew how long I've been wanting to do this. Well, now all the drawers are empty. As soon as Bud comes in with the box...
Honey, wait a second. What's this?
What?
This!
Oh, dear. You weren't supposed to find that yet.
What is it, Father?
It's my income tax. And it's all made out. Margaret.
Now, Jim, let's not jump to any conclusions.
You took that piece of paper, didn't you?
Well?
You sent it over to Hector and had him make out the tax, didn't you?
I guess I did.
And then you let me suffer. You let me sit here and stew in my own juice. Margaret, how could you do a thing like that?
Well, suppose you tell me some other way I could have gotten you to clean out your desk.
Oh, no.
It's true. Every pound of coffee you buy, you're looking for the most in flavor for your money. If you agree, take this thought to your grocers this weekend. On his shelves, there's a coffee famous for flavor above all others. It's our coffee, our Maxwell House coffee. Take home a pound and offer a cup to the world's greatest coffee expert, your husband. When he smiles from ear to ear and says, "Best coffee ever," you'll know why Maxwell House is world famous for flavor. Then keep track of all the truly good cups of coffee you get from that 1 pound. We think you'll be convinced. For real value, Maxwell House is today's coffee buy. So this weekend, look for the big white cup and drop on the friendly blue tin. Take home Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
It's morning now, and the Andersons are at breakfast. It should be a happy time of day. It generally is, as a matter of fact, but not today. No, indeed, not by a long shot. Like this.
May I have my coffee, please?
Jim.
I'd rather not talk about it, Margaret. Just let me have my coffee.
All right, dear. There you are.
Go ahead, Kathy. H2SO4. Sulfuric acid. K2CO3. Potassium nitrate?
No.
Carbonate?
Yep.
Well, I knew it was something.
40 years old, and they have to teach me lessons.
Oh.
Is something wrong, Bud?
I don't know. I must have slept funny last night. My whole back hurts.
Really? I wonder why.
I can't figure it out. I take such good care of myself, too.
May I have the cream, please?
Here you are, Daddy.
Thank you. You know, Margaret, you'd have felt pretty silly if I'd done the income tax myself, wouldn't you?
There wasn't much danger of that, dear.
What do you mean?
Well, Jim, you know the way you procrastinate.
C12H22O11.
Sugar?
Well, thank you very much.
Does Father know best?
You bet I do. When the kids don't want their hot cereal, I say, "Mom, tell them Hopalong goes for post-wheat meal." Then you ought to see them dig in.
That's right, Dad. Just tell the kids post-wheat meal is Hopalong Cassidy's favorite hot cereal, and they'll eat it, too. Post-wheat meal has wonderful nut-like flavor, solid whole wheat nourishment, cooks in 3.5 minutes. You'll see, you'll all agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra. In our cast were Norma Jean Nilsen as Kathy, June Whitley, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
procrastination. That was not only the thief of time, but also the theme in tonight's outing with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young, Tax Interruptions, in a broadcast from March 15, 1951. And if you have Hopalong Cassidy, even vicariously endorsing your post-wheat meal, well, can you do anything but buy if you're a kid in 1951? James Stewart saddles up as the six-shooter. When we return shortly, you're listening to Old Time Radio Drama. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It was not only an adult Western, but a Western that attempted to be a little bit more contemplative and usually succeeded. James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, and tonight he encounters the owner of the Double Seven Ranch. And, well, the Double Seven owner thinks that some of the small farmers are out to get him, and it's perhaps the truth. You'll hear tonight the voice of Gerald Moore, who appears in many other radio dramas, including some of the detective ones, in this broadcast called Double Seven from May 13th, 1954.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with The Bob Hope Show, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring you both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
Halfway Creek sure wasn't much of a town. Oh, that general store and cafe, room and house, and a blacksmith shop. That's about all there was to it. And I'd never figured out where the place got its name, either. It didn't seem to be halfway to anything. As a matter of fact, it was right at the end of the trail from Santa Fe. The only thing further west was a couple of small farms and Gid Bascom's Double Seven Ranch. That's where I was heading, the Double Seven, to see if I could sign on with Gid for the spring roundup. Oh. Wow, it didn't look like I was going to have to ride out all the way. Oh, boy. Oh. Yeah. Well, there was Gid himself pounding down the main street, five or six fellas behind him. Well, if he had that many men working for him already, he probably wouldn't have much use for me.
Hey, Britt. Britt Ponsett.
Howdy, Gid.
Where in the name of Moses you come from, Britt?
Oh, no place special. I was laying some railroad track out of Denver for a spell, but then I thought it was about time for me to hit the saddle again.
Well, if you're looking for a job, we can always use an extra hand, can't we, boys?
Well, it's mighty nice of you, Gid. To tell you the truth, I was sort of hoping that you had room for enough.
Well, go on, Britt.
Oh. I guess you've got enough help here without me.
Well, my outfit's been growing since you were through here last. We'll stretch clear over to Apache Hill.
You don't say.
Yeah, it takes a lot of riders to cover that much ground.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Oh, come on then, let's go. We're on our way back to the Double Seven right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe next roundup, Gid.
Well, what's the matter with you, Britt? You said you were looking for work.
I reckon I'm what change funds his mind, Git. I reckon he's a little too fancy to ride alongside me.
Huh?
How about it, six-shooter?
You boys know each other?
We met up.
Yeah.
Well,
take it easy, Git. I'll be saying
it. Now, hold up a minute, Britt. You go ahead, boys. I'll catch up with you. I want to talk to Ponson.
You're wasting your breath.
I'm still boss of the 77, Clint. I don't need no advice from you.
Sure, Git, sure.
I better a cup of coffee, Britt.
Oh, thanks. I guess I could use one.
Yeah. Christy, I ain't the best cook in the world. He can usually get his coffee down without it gagging you.
Christy still run the cafe, huh?
Sure, sure. Town ain't changed much, Britt. On the surface, that is.
Oh.
Oh, well, come on in, Mr. Bascom. Come on in.
Hello, Christy. You remember Britt Ponson?
Britt, well, for goodness sakes, when did you get back to town?
Oh, just a little while ago, Christy. Ah, you're sure looking well.
Fit as a fiddle, Mr. Ponson. Fit as a fiddle. Now, you both sit down at that table over there, and I'll bring you some of my special for today. Beef stew. I made it fresh this morning.
No, thanks, Christy. We just come in for some coffee.
Why, it's after 4 o'clock. It's practically time for supper.
Our coffee will do the trick for now.
Oh. Well, what about you, Mr. Ponson? A little taste of my stew?
No. I think I'll just stick to coffee, too.
Oh. Okay. Well, the pot's on the stove out in the bottom. I'll get it.
No hurry. Well, Britt?
Hmm?
Is Clint right? Is it on account of him you don't want to work for me?
I never said that, Gid.
You sure acted it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was sort of surprised that you'd hire a man like Clint Sutton.
Britt, I just didn't have no choice.
Oh?
Like I told you, the 77's been growing. When a ranch gets big, well, I guess a man's bound to make enemies. He needs somebody who's handy with a gun around.
Mm-hmm. You never had any enemies before, Gid.
Yeah, well, times are different now, Britt.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you remember those sod busters down by the creek, Perry Waddell and Fred Garver?
Sure.
Well, there's been some new ones move in the last year or so.
Well, that isn't your land along the creek, is it?
No. Ben? Never claimed it was. I always figured there was plenty of space around here. Room enough for me and them nesters, too.
Well?
Well, I ain't been like some of the other ranches. You know that, Britt. I ain't never tried to run the sod busters off or burn them out. Live and let live. That's what I always said. I try to practice my preaching, too.
Here's your coffee, Gent. Right off the stove. There we are. You sure you won't have nothing else?
Oh, thanks, Christy. Here you go.
No, hold
Keep
on.
Keep your hands
hold
away from your pockets, Britt. I guess I can afford a couple of cups of coffee.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Baskin. Hey, see, I've got some bread in the oven, so if you want anything more, you just call. Boy.
You better saucer it for a spell. Let it cool off some, huh?
Mm. Wow. Hey, it's not the heat, it's the taste. Gee whiz, that stuff's... Well, it's as bad as the coffee I make myself. Worse.
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing we didn't order none of Christie's stew.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, Britt, about Clint Sutton. Now, there was a good reason for hiring him. They've been stealing my cattle.
What?
Yeah, them nesters.
Now,
there ain't any doubt about it. My tallies are short. After the roundup, I'll know for certain how many they got away with.
Well, now, Gid, it doesn't stand to reason that men like Waddell and Garver would rustle your animals. They're in a rough spot as it is when they're living right next to the edge of your ranch. Well, they must know that you could shove them off of there if you took a mind to it.
I guess they know that, all right. Anyway, one of them tried to shoot me.
Were you sure of that?
No, I didn't see who it was, and Not for certain. But there ain't been any strangers around Halfway Creek lately. So?
Sutton's a stranger.
I hired him after the shooting. I had to have somebody, Britt. My own boys ain't very fast with a gun. They ain't had much experience lately.
Now, Gid, you're just asking for trouble bringing Clint Sutton in here.
Britt, the trouble's already started, and I didn't start it. They did. Of course, if I had known you were coming into town, I wouldn't have taken Clint on.
Well, if what you wanted was a gun, I'm not the man for you. I reckon Clint is.
Well, that's the way you feel, Britt.
That's the way I feel.
Maybe you'll change your mind after things quiet down. Or maybe there won't be a serious mix-up now that them sod busters know that I mean business.
I wouldn't count on that, Jed. Well, thanks for the coffee. Well, it was getting on toward evening now, and I was beginning to feel some hunger pains down the pit of my stomach. I sure didn't like the idea of sampling Christiot's stew, though. I figured I'd be better off to buy some cold grub at the general store, so I headed across the street. Just as I started to go in the front door, I saw somebody staring at me from behind a wagon over to the blacksmith shop. Sun was directly behind him, so I couldn't tell who it was exactly. Not until it came around into the shade.
Britt? That you, Britt?
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Well, don't you recognize me? Perry Waddell?
Oh. Oh, sure, Perry. Oh, the sun was in my eyes. I couldn't see.
You busy, Britt?
No, not especially.
Well, I'd like to talk to you if you got a minute spare. Busted one of my wagon wheels this morning. I'm waiting for Sam Todd to see if he can put it together.
Mm-hmm. Well, how have things been going with you, Perry?
Not so good, Britt. Not so good.
Yeah, I was just talking to Git Bascom. What's behind the trouble, anyway?
Same old story, I reckon. Big ranch, small farms, there just ain't room for them both.
There's always plenty of room before. Perry, Gid tells me that some of his cattle are missing.
Oh, that's just his excuse to get rid of us.
Uh-huh.
And I ain't no thief, Brett.
Oh, of course not, Perry. But I understand that there've been some new families moving in, is that right?
Any farmer who'd steal from Gid's herd, he'd be plumb loco. He'd just be asking for Gid to burn him out.
Yeah, that's true enough.
I suppose Gid told you somebody took a shot at him, too, and said it was one of us.
He mentioned something about it, yeah.
He just needed a reason for bringing that Clint Sutton in here. Clint's a killer, pure and simple. Think bad enough that Gid wants our land, he's got to hire a gunfighter to take it away from us.
Well, Gid never objected to your farms before, Perry.
There was always plenty of other land waiting for him. Now he's pushed his ranch clear to Apache Hill. He can't go no farther in that direction, so he's got to spread east. And we're in his way.
That just somehow doesn't sound like Gid. He sure seems sincere when I talk to him. Now, I'm almost certain he believes somebody's been rustling his cattle.
Britt, I swear to you that I never so much as laid a hand on any of his stock.
Well, that's none of my concern, Perry. I've seen I'm leaving town anyway.
Well, you can't leave, Britt. You've got to stay here.
I what?
You're the only man who can stand up to Bascom. And Sutton.
Oh, now, hold on, Perry.
Oh, we couldn't pay you much, but we'd all chip in and give you what we can.
I told Gid I'm not a hired gun. I'm going to tell you the same thing.
Britt, my farm's all I've got in this world. I spent 21 years trying to build it up into something that'd mean a decent living for my wife and kids. Nobody's going to take it away from me now.
Well, I understand that. I understand. Hey, look at that. Looks like somebody's in a rush, huh?
Yeah. It's Ruth Lovett.
Oh?
Oh, he's homesteading the place right next to mine. Ruth, what's your hurry?
Yeah, I gotta see you, Perry.
Sure?
Yeah, but it's real important.
Well, I was just going into the store anyway, so
no
I'll see you later.
No need for you to rush off, Britt. Ruth, this here's Britt Ponsett. You can speak your mind in front of him.
Six-shooter?
That's right.
Real pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett.
Howdy.
Now, what's all the fuss about, Ruth?
They're gonna burn us out tonight, Perry.
You sure?
Yeah, one of Gid's own men told me.
Well, I was just talking to Gid just a little while ago, Rube. He never had any intention then.
Yeah, maybe he's changed his mind since then, Mr. Ponsett, and maybe he didn't feel like advertising what he's up to. Now, Perry, we got to get together, all us farmers.
Oh, sure, Rube, sure. We'll hold him off.
Hold him off? Why, we wouldn't have a chance against a man like Clint Sutton.
Well, we got to do something. We got to fight back.
Yeah, we'll fight back, all right, but on our own ground.
What do you mean?
Well, they'll be riding toward our farms tonight, Gid and all his boys. There won't be a soul over at the 77.
Yeah?
We'll show Gid Bascom he ain't gonna have everything his way. We'll burn him out while he's burning us.
Oh, Ruth,
I sure don't see what you'll accomplish by that, Ruth.
Why, Gid'll think twice before he tries to shove somebody else around. That's what we'll accomplish.
Maybe so, but it won't save your farm.
Well, what else can we do?
Well, you might try talking to Gid, see if you can find out what's eating.
Talk's a waste of time.
Oh, I don't know, Ruth. Maybe Maybe he'll listen to reason.
Has he ever listened to us before?
Well...
Besides, what about Clint Sutton? Who's going to reason with that gun of his?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about Clint. Britt?
Now, Perry...
Britt, talking to Gid is your idea.
Yeah, I know it is. I know, but I... Oh, doggone it, Perry. All right, I'll see if I can head him off. Now, you and Ruth go back to your farm. Stay put, huh?
Okay, Mr. Ponsett.
You don't know how much this means to us, Britt.
Yeah, I see. Got it. Maybe someday I'll learn to keep my doggone ideas to myself.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. If you're of teenage or up, a loyal American, male or female, your country needs you in the Civilian Ground Observer Corps. You've heard the radio broadcasts, seen the television pictures. You know the facts. You know what a single H-bomb dropped in any metropolitan area could do. And today's long-range bombers have made intercontinental war possible. Enemy planes based on the other side of the world could reach the United States in a matter of hours. Radar can help detect them, but there are dangerous gaps through which low-flying planes can penetrate without detection. To fill out our detection system, civilian personnel is needed, particularly along the east and west coasts and in the northern states. Sky watching is not a game, it's a necessary precaution. The Ground Observer Corps is now operating on a 24-hour-a-day basis and needs at least 200,000 volunteers to contribute a few hours of their spare time to this vital work. Will you volunteer? Get in touch with your local civilian defense center at once. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Gid Bascom's ranch house is about a three-hour ride from town, so around about 8 o'clock, I figure I was halfway there. The moon was just beginning to silver up the top of Apache Hill. I hadn't been too sure of the trail, but now that things were lightening up some, I gave Scarlet a nudge. Come on, let's go on. It was real sandy country. A clump of purple sage every now and then, once in a while a pine tree or two. We must have covered about 4 miles, and then we came to a little creek. From there on, the trail started to wind into a kind of a jagged ravine with a couple of tall yellow rocks at the mouth, sort of sticking up straight in the air like a couple of fingers. We were just getting past those rocks when I heard what sounded like about a half a dozen horses coming toward me.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, Scar.
I pulled up and waited. Oh.
Howdy, Gid.
What are you doing out here, Britt?
Oh, I just thought I might come out and take a look at the 77.
Some other time.
You, in a hurry to go somewhere?
That's right. We're in a hurry.
Oh. Oh, hello, Clint.
Come on, Gid. We ain't got all night.
Right.
You mind telling me where you're heading, Gid?
Look, I offered you a job this afternoon. You turned me down. I don't see where anything I do from here on in is your concern.
No, it sure isn't. But I was just noticing, and it looks to me like you've got the whole crew with you.
What if I have?
Well, it must be something kind of important to take you all the way out here, away from the ranch this time of night.
We're going to burn out a bunch of Stephen rustlers. That important enough for you, Ponsett?
Clint!
Well, he might as well know it. He can't do nothing to stop us.
What happened, Gid? You weren't planning anything like this when I talked to you a little while ago.
Clint found 5 of my steers over in a canyon behind one of them farms.
Well, maybe your steers got lost. Maybe they just strayed over that way.
And hobbled themselves?
Well, even so, it seems to me like this is a matter for the law.
There ain't no sheriff in Halfway Creek. You know that, Britt.
Well, there's a sheriff at Bixby Falls. Somebody can go over and get him.
You get him if you want him, Ponsett. We got other things to do.
Now...
Come on, Gid.
Now, I wouldn't let Clint hurry me if I was you, Gid.
What difference does it make?
It might make a lot of difference. Seeing as how those farmers were talking about paying you back if you go after them.
I'd sure like to know what they could do.
Well, they sort of had an idea that they could burn down the 77.
What? Well, they sure must want to get themselves killed.
Uh-huh. It doesn't look to me like there'd be anybody there to kill them, Sutton.
Look, he's lying. He's just trying to stall
us. Do
you think I'm lying, Gid?
Turn around, boys. We're going back to the ranch.
Are you crazy? Get them nesters with me.
I said turn around. Now let's go.
Well, I watched them for a minute or two, moving along through the ravine, heading back to the 77. I could hear Clint arguing with Gid, and Gid didn't seem to be paying much attention to him. Then I swung Scar around toward Halfway Creek. Must have been about 30 minutes later when we came down to a narrow stretch of trail that twisted down the side of the cliff. Easy, easy, boy. Easy. The moon was sliding under a thick milk-white cloud, and the rocks and the trees started fading into night shadows. For a minute or so, everything got real still. Even the crickets. Somebody else was taking the same trail. Sounded like he was following me. I got a kind of a crickly feeling across the back of my neck. I started wondering maybe Clint Sutton. I twisted around to see if I could get a look. I had to squint my eyes, but finally I made out the shape of a horse about 40 feet back. He was just standing there nibbling on a couple of tufts of grass. Wasn't anybody in the saddle. And right then the cloud over the moon started skidding away and the trees began coming back to size. I was just about to give Scar a touch of the spur when I saw him crouching low behind a clump of pines. I saw something else, too, a little glint of metal. Whoever it was had a gun. I jerked out of the saddle and hit the ground. Looked around for cover. His aim was close. It was too darn close. Well, it couldn't be Sutton. I knew Clint's style of gunplay. He might miss one shot, and he wouldn't miss twice. And then I spotted a little gully a few feet to my left, and I crawled toward it, keeping as low as I could. I was almost there before he had a chance to fire again. When he did, I started rolling, and I tumbled down into the draw. I took out my gun. I was hoping he'd think he'd hit me, but his bullet had sent me over the side. And I couldn't hear him move. I pressed flat, and I pulled up behind a couple of big tumbleweeds. I sort of cut down my chance of him spotting me. He was coming now. He was going to be at the edge of the gully in a couple more steps. I shoved my gun up and sort of gauged where I thought he'd show. Then a leg came into sight. About more than 6 feet away. And then his body swung up into view. And just before he fired, he went down on his knees fast. I swung out of the way and his bullet cut through one of the tumbleweeds. I gave it a shove and the wind sort of caught it. He fired again. But he wasn't firing at me now. He's firing at the weed. And he had to rise up into sight to get aim. Yeah, my bullet slapped him on the shoulder, and for a minute he sort of hung in midair and teetering on the edge of the draw. And then he pitched forward and toppled down beside me. And I turned him over and got a look at his face. What the thunder are you trying to do, Rufe? You should have been able to recognize me. It wasn't as dark as all that.
I recognized you, Ponset.
What?
You shouldn't have meddled in this. Gid would have burned us out if it hadn't been for you stopping him.
Well, you wanted him to burn you out?
It's going to happen anyway, ain't it? Sooner or later.
Well, not if Gid isn't forced into it.
Big ranchers don't need no forcing.
What are you talking about? I don't understand you, Rufe. It was your farm he was going to burn. You're talking like that. You hoped it would happen.
You think I care about that farm? I had me a farm once down in Texas. Real good soil, brown, soft, rich, plenty of water, too. Man could grow anything on that land.
Well, what happened to it?
Well, there was a ranch, bigger than Gid's outfit even. But it wasn't big enough.
Not big enough to suit the fellow on, that he kept stretching out, crawling down from the hills, moving his fences closer and closer till one day they was right up against my property. He offered to buy me out. He offered me good money, but it was my farm. I didn't want to sell no matter what he was willing to pay me.
Here, come on. I'll pull out your shirt, too. I'll try and see if I can get that bleeding to stop.
Yeah.
You think you'll be able to ride?
I don't know. Give me a couple of minutes.
Oh, sure. Well, go on. Now, you were telling me about your farm down in Texas.
Ain't much more to tell. I wouldn't sell it. Nancy, she was my wife. She told me I was wrong. I'd have to give in, but I didn't listen to her. I should have listened and burned us out.
I see.
I wasn't there when it happened. I was in town. Nancy, she tried to stop him. He killed her.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lovett.
He killed her and left her there in the house while they burned it. Couldn't even give her a decent burial. There was...
No, take it easy, Ruth.
Don't matter what becomes of me, Ponson, not anymore. After Nancy... Well, afterwards, I come up here to New Mexico. Figured maybe I could start over, maybe things would be different, but there wasn't no different. There's always a ranch and a fella like Gid Bascom to shove you around. I watched him. Watched him spreading out clear to Apache Hills, and then when he couldn't go no further in that direction, I knowed he'd be coming my way. Well, I wasn't just going to sit around and wait for him like I'd done before.
So you stole Gid's cattle. Is that what you're saying?
Didn't have nothing to lose. I was going to be burned out anyways. I even took a shot at him, but I ain't much good with a gun. I guess it kind of showed that tonight.
Well, it wasn't Gid that burned you out down in Texas, Rue.
Luke was a rancher just like Gid. They're all the same, Ponset, with their grabbing, burning, and killing. I figured if I stirred up enough trouble to force Gid out in the open, maybe then some of the other farmers would come along with me and we'd burn him up. He'd get a taste of his own medicine. I'd be paying Gid back for what he'd done to Nancy.
But, Roof, I'm
I can still see how it was that night. Smoke and ashes everywhere. First, I couldn't believe it that they killed her. I started to holler and holler until my throat was so sore the sound just wouldn't come out no more. But she didn't answer me. And I thought maybe she'd run off somewhere. They'd scared her and she'd run away. And I saw her. Over behind a pile of smoking timbers. Her clothes was all burned up. That's what he'd done. That's what Gid had done.
That wasn't Gid Bascom. Now, get a hold of yourself.
I've got to make it up for Nancy. I got to burn the 77.
And you're coming to town with me.
Town?
Come on now. Can you stand up?
I guess so.
Who are you? You come along. Now, here, let me give you a hand.
Well, what about Luke Harper?
Luke Harper?
You ain't been listening to me. I told you I got to get even with Harper for killing my wife. That's what I was going to do tonight, burn down his ranch. Now, I told you.
I know, yeah. Now, you told me. But you just better forget about that for now.
Well, I couldn't forget. Not ever.
Come on, Ruth. Come on, you and me are going to town.
Huh?
Here, I'll help you on your horse. Here, come on.
Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. You've been real kind to... Funny. There's something wrong with my shoulder. Somebody shot me. Did Luke Harper do that, mister?
Maybe he did, Ruth. In a way, maybe he did. I took Rufe as far as Perry Waddell's house, and Perry went in to get the doc. It looked like Rufe was going to be all right. At least it looked like he'd get over that wound in the shoulder. But whether he'd really ever get well again, I guess even the doctor couldn't tell that. The next morning, Gid Bascom rode into town, found out what had happened. He said he was willing to forget about the stolen cattle and the other trouble Ruth had caused him.
And he said he'd get rid of Clint Sutton, too. He didn't come right out and admit it, but I've got a hunch he was kind of sorry that he'd hired Sutton in the first place. It just goes to show you there's differences in ranchers like anything else.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is written by Frank Burtz and is based on a character created by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Lamont Johnson, Gerald Moore, Bob Griffin, Parley Bear, and Howard McNear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlin, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hearing Time brings you highlights from the Senate committee hearings tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter, James Stewart, starring in an outing called Double Seven from May 13th, 1954. We'll be hearing more from The Six Shooter in the next month or so of old-time radio drama. Next, we're going to hear from a ghost, the Canterville Ghost. As old-time radio drama continues, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.